If I may, I'd like to share some pictures of myself with everybody. I will do that not right now, just so you kind of can see where I'm from. Thank you for your patience. All right, so here you can see me in 2020 during pandemic. This is me, and this is me now. Just kind of to give you an idea and to qualify, I've been in OA for a short 6 months. I'm technically a newbie, and my top weight was 227 pounds. And I'm currently 50 pounds less by the grace of God, who I call my higher power, who I call God. And I'm going to tell you what happened, how it was, what happened, and what it's like now. So I am from Ukraine originally. I was born in Ukraine. I came here when I was 18 years old. And I was born to a crazy family. Father, an alcoholic. Mother, very histrionic woman, who we later realized had schizophrenia. And growing up in that, I also should say I'm Jewish on my mom's side, and that was not something that was discussed in our household, or outside of our household, I should say, because we lived in very, very anti-Semitic times, where it was not very acceptable. Anyway, so this is just to set up what was going on with me as I was growing up. Food meant something more than just food, of course. Food was comfort, food was love, food was when things were normal. And you never know where normal was. And my mom and dad used to get into it when he would come home late at night. Usually there were fights, he would hit her. I saw things that no child should witness. And food was my comfort. However, I was not obese. I was just a little bit overweight as a child. And so later on, mom and I moved away. Mom divorced dad. We moved away to another town. And at this time, I was around 14 years old. And so, we moved away and it was all new. And I was just a tween at this time, just learning about myself. And by this time, I had all these identity things, right? I have this complex about myself, who I am. Just felt wrong, felt like I don't belong, felt I like strange, different from everyone else, right? Because of my, and being Jewish, because of my parents, I just felt a lot of shame about who I was. Not about something that I did, but who I was inside, who I was. And I always wished that I would be in a different family, the situation would be different, that my parents would not be this way, that my mom would not fight with my father, and things like that. We're living at this time, my mom and I. And so, but before we had money because there were two incomes in a household and my dad was making very good money. At this point now, it's just mom and I, and she gets alimony, and we just go through times of famine and times of plenty. And at those days, in the 80s, there was no welfare system in Ukraine, well, former Soviet Union. There was no, government assistance. There were no food pantries. You just had to like tough it out. And so mom and I just remember eating lots of bread, lots of pancakes. Just was a lot of food scarcity. And so I developed this thing that when we would do what would, when we would get food in the house, I would just feel like, it was like a palpable mood shift. It would be a celebration. We have food, and then I would eat, and at the same breath, I'd be like, oh my gosh, like, I don't know when I'm gonna have this again. I better hold on to this feeling. I better experience this, right? And this is where I think it started with the food associating with more than just nourishment. And so after that, fast forward a couple of years, so I'm now couple of years of this town. I'm entering high school, making friends, and I always had this thing, with wanting to belong, wanting acceptance, wanting to be loved, wanting to be, because I always felt like I'm on the outside and I just wanted to be in. I just wanted you to like me, and I would do anything, okay, just so you like me. And so I find this friend finally, and I'm like, yes, I'm in. And I shared with her that I'm Jewish. And so that started a whole different pivotal moment in my life. She told a lot of people in our school about me, my heritage. And the way I discovered is I found my picture in her desk drawer. And on the back of my picture, it's a some things, some bad things about me. It was Jew and something else. And I just felt like my trust was broken. I was just completely devastated at this time. And I didn't even know how to express all these feelings, this anger, this emotion, this, why am I, being treated like this and things like that. And I was just too young, just didn't understand a lot of things, So, but where is the food at this time? Well, the food, I don't have it. I don't have access to it. But the emotions are all there, right? Emotions are all there. The shame, the not belonging, just desperately wanting to belong so bad. And so after that, things kind of went from bad to worse. I started getting bullied at school. There was this one boy who would spit on me, yell at me, obscenities, and would just be torment. He was my tormentor. Like, I just hated it, hated high school. And then again, being naive, I'm a girl. I have a crush on this boy who was nothing to even think of, but me being this low, low self-esteem, anybody would do, anybody, just anybody to like me. And so this boy calls me and says, hey, can you come over? And I'm like, wow, he likes me. Well, bad things happen after that. So I went over to this house and we had some drinks and I passed out and I was raped by two boys. This boy who bullied me and this boy who pretended to like me. And after that, things were never the same. I just kind of went into this hole. I numbed out. I shut down. I pretended this didn't happen. I pretended that, I pretended this never happened. I just made it all up and I just went with my life and I just braced myself every day for school and I just survived being called a whore at school, being whore, dirty Jew, whatever you will, Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. I'm okay. And I just lived like in my head with all these feelings, all these emotions repressed, just all repressed. And so fast forward, mom and I got an opportunity to come to America. My grandfather immigrated and he said, I want you guys to come. And my mom, being schizophrenic, undiagnosed, she was like a child and I had to be her mom. And I wanted to leave. I would do anything to leave that town, leave that everything behind. And I did what I needed to do. I was like, on it. I tried to sell our apartment. I put up signs everywhere. That's kind of how we did it back then. It was before internet and all of that. It was handwritten signs with my phone numbers, cut off and take it with you. We're selling our apartment, It was crazy. I don't even know how I did it, but I know how I did it. It was God who did it for me, what I could not do for myself. He was saving me. And we came to the States, and it was such a relief. And when we came to America, and it was 1994, October 18th, and my grandfather welcomed us, and we rented a one-bedroom apartment. And, I didn't speak English. I did not drive. I did not have a job. Same for my mother, and we lived together, and there were tensions the first year. But I will tell you what, there was food now. This is where the food comes in, the good part. I go to the grocery store with my grandfather who drove us everywhere, and I'm like, what? There is food. I can get food anytime. I can just go back for more and more and more if I wanted to. Everything shifted. Everything in my life completely shifted. If everything became in Technicolor, right? I started, it was like I was Dorothy and I was transported to the Land of Oz. And I was just eating my brains out. We sat in that apartment, my mother and I, and that's what we did. I could not watch TV. I didn't know what the hell they were talking about. I didn't speak English. And I started going to these little classes. I would take the bus and I would go to this English second language classes. And little by little, we started to, learn a way around and things like that, become more independent. But for that first year, it was just a lot of eating. Sitting down, eating a portion of something, getting up, getting another one, getting up, getting another one. It was just like this never-ending story of that. And so I'm going to stop there with regards to those first years in the States. And then, life went on. Fast forward, I got married to an addict, drug addict. Again, somebody who just liked me, I thought. And then ended up being divorced 7 years later. I knew I had to do better for myself. There was a knowing deep inside of me that I deserved better, that I didn't need to be in that situation. And I left him. And I got a divorce and ate through my divorce every night to numb out. It was my anesthetic of choice. I would sit down there and eat my two bagels with cream cheese and cherry preserves and a cup of tea. And tea was just there. It was not about tea, trust me. And it was just and watch my SVU, my favorite show, and just every night, late into the night, and then crashing, waking up early, not being able to wake up early and function. And then what happened? I just continued my eating career. I eventually remarried to a wonderful man and had a son who's now 9 years old. And I was a monster. I was a monster. I ate food, and the book calls it living in the bedevilments, right? I was depressed. I was angry. I had this self-pity. I could not shake it. I thought that, I just need to get to a good therapist so that I can debunk my childhood trauma, and then I'll be okay. If only I could do that, and then I would like lose the weight, and then things will fall into place, then things will be better, then I will start exercising, and I will have appreciation for life, and then I'll do things, then I'll travel. I didn't even used to wear perfume because I just, for some reason, I felt like I don't deserve that because I felt like I'm wasting it. This was my like self-esteem. Like this was my level. Like not worthy, terrible, just and living in the bedevilments. Woe is me. Like I would just sit there in the evening and just eat my fill. And it was like this tape was playing on repeat, but there was no resolve. It was like, like they say, sitting in a rocking chair, going nowhere, just these thoughts over and over, self-depreciating thoughts, trying to get some kind of resolve and not getting any. There were no answers. There were no answers. And I've tried everything. These are the things that I've tried. I've tried diets. I've tried exercise. I once exercised so hard, checking my time here, that I was taken by ambulance to the hospital because I passed out in the locker room. I tried working with personal trainers. I tried nutritionists. I tried injections. It was called Saxenda for weight loss. I tried those, I tried amphetamines. Just I couldn't sleep. I was crazy, and so nothing worked. And I was at the end of my rope at this point, and I'll give you an example of my insanity, how I was at that time. Like I say, I was a monster, I was very passive aggressive, at work. I was the it girl. I was the best at what I did. I was very needed. I was very wanted. I was very likable. But I got into it with my boss because my burrito order was waiting and I had to go pick it up. And she was telling me I have a meeting to go to. And I was like, no, I have a burrito to pick up. You don't understand. It's been sitting there getting cold. Like, No concept. Like, all I wanted is my food, right? And then the next day I would go to talk to her, and on some level I needed to apologize to her. I knew this, but I didn't feel guilt. I just didn't. I was just pretentious. And out of her respect for her, I said, fine, I'll go apologize. Hey, I'm sorry, what happened yesterday. She says, when you were talking to me yesterday, I did not know who I was talking to. And I didn't know what that meant at that time. I just let it go. Well, now I know what that meant. She was talking to Mr. Hyde. That's who she was talking to. Because when I did not have my food, I was going to get my food no matter what. And you were not going to flipping stop me, okay? And then I would come home with this, after all this said and done, with the drama at work, running on adrenaline, filling myself with these sugar-laden drinks, from dawn till night, it was just venti, caramel, whatever, all day. In the morning, I have to have it. I have to have it. I once lost a job because I was going on a coffee run so much that I was late for work every day. What does that tell us? And at home with my husband, horrible relationship. We almost got a divorce because I would come home and I was like a T-Rex in that Jurassic Park movie. I was just like, things were not my way. The house wasn't clean. I wanted everybody to be ready for me to come home because I am now home. Okay, get ready. I'm here. What? There's like dirty dish in the sink. What? This is not. Well, anyway, I would just pick everything apart. I would just pick a fight because I was restless, I was irritable, and I was discontented all the time, all the time. And there was no relief. And I was torturing myself and I was abusing myself with food. My body was in pain. I was dizzy, just bending down, tie my shoes. I could not walk. My hips hurt. I snored like a trucker. I would fall asleep after food, after eating. And I was just irritable. And so I finally found a way. I'm getting to the good part. I finally found a way. I was scrolling Facebook mindlessly one day while eating something. And I found it. And I knew it was God. It was God. I was so desperate. I would do anything. I would, at that point, I would do anything. This was my last chance. I was considering bariatric surgery, and was afraid. There was this fear. Well, should I do it or not? And that's where I found a way. I found a sponsor that same day on Facebook. On Facebook, I found a sponsor, and she lives in UK, and she sponsored me through the first four steps. I did my step four inventory on Messenger, on Facebook Messenger. So if you want to get recovered, you can get recovered on Facebook Messenger, people. And so I am just saying, I was desperate. I crawled on my hands and my knees, and I did what I was told. I did what I was told, no questions asked. When my sponsor told me, put down the Chex Mix, what are you doing? It has chocolate bits in it. What? I did it. I hated it, but I did it. And so how is it now? I am happy. I have peace. I can sit down and read a book, and there is no monkeys in my brain chatting about whatever. I can sit with my husband and quietly have a cup of tea in the morning and not talk. And just sit and listen to birds, and I don't have to watch TV marathons. I am busy from morning to night. I'm sponsoring. I'm not tooting my horn. I'm just saying, I know this is how recovery works. If I don't sponsor, I die. The core, like, I have to sponsor. This is my only immunity. That is what it says in the big book. That is the only immunity for me is if I sponsor. And I am out of time. So I am going to say, leave you with this. My favorite part of the big book is the last paragraph on page 164 that says, abandon yourself to God as you understand him. Abandon, that word for me was everything. And, surrender, abandon, surrender. God is, I am not. More of him, less of me. That's how this program works. And I'm just so grateful that you let me to be of service today. And with that, I pass.